Okay, quickly, before I forget, I do have some materials out on the little table by the door, kind of, but before you go down the stairs. One of them is a little business card of mine. It's got a website, youaremybelovedson.com. That's where I post my talks and hopefully some more material I'm all excited about, training people in identity. So that's a resource for you if you want. There's also a little promotional video DVD and some brochures, which I think I should explain a little bit about that because I need to explain to you who I am. I am, my name's Jack Heemskerk, originally from Southern California area, grew up in Whittier, and born of immigrant parents who immigrated from Holland and grew up a very Catholic life of sorts, you know, parochial school system and all that. And in 1992, I had a conversion and ended up in Ohio, of all places. Now, you knew it had to be a work of God, because nobody in their right mind would move from Southern California to Ohio, unless you're crazy. So I'm either crazy or really it's a God thing. So I like to think it's a God thing. You like that one. I didn't go to Steubenville, but we're real close by, and we do work with Steubenville a lot. So those kids are awesome. So I ended up in Ohio. Now, I joined an organization called the Apostolate for Family Consecration, who runs a camp called Catholic Family Land. There, some of you have heard about this place. There's two membership branches within the Apostolate for Family Consecration. There's the Married Disciple membership, and then there's the Celibate Catholic Core membership. I'm a member of the Catholic Core men's community, Poverty, Chastity, and Obedience. We're founded by a lay couple, so that's why I'm lay. That's how the church works. So if we were founded by a religious, I would be religious if I had continued and joined there. But there was something about being lay really fit for me. It was a good fit. I really enjoy being a lay person in the world to transform the world. And we'll probably touch on that a little bit later, too. So that's the material I have. We do have an interesting thing. If you're interested in joining us for the summer, we have this thing called Alumni Corps, where college-age boys and girls, men and women, come and spend the summer with us to help minister to the families. Last year, we had about 5,000 people come through our center throughout the course of 11, 12 weeks. So we would have these summer camps. And so they would help and work alongside us. And it's a real awesome opportunity to serve the Lord in that capacity. And really, it's a life-changing experience. It's a life-changing experience. If you can do it, it's really something to pursue and do. It's really amazing. And the DVD's got promotional videos on that, Catholic Core, the Apostolate, Family Fest, and all that. And the Family Fest is what I was talking about earlier, those week-long events. So that's business. In this talk, hopefully, God willing, I want to touch on five things. First one, you are exceedingly precious and your worth is unimaginable. You are intimately, this is number two, you are intimately loved by the only one who really knows you. Three, your Heavenly Father created you in love and destined you to be his son or daughter. For he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for you to be restored now and have an abundant life now. And five, all you have to do to be truly happy in this life to the full is to believe in his personal, crazy, over-the-top love for you. This is the truth that will set you free. I'm going to start off with a joke. Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson decided to go on a camping trip. If you've heard this already, just relax. After enjoying dinner and a bottle of wine, they laid down for the night to go to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes awoke and nudged his faithful friend. Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Watson replied, "I see millions of stars." Holmes continued, "What else does that tell you?" Watson wondered for a moment. "Astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observed that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduced that the time is approximately 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and we are small and seemingly insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a moment and spoke. "Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent." I laugh every time I hear it. But it's a truth. It's a truth. There's many times that we as Catholic Christians or Christians in general, we go through life without really understanding what's really happening. We could really miss something very important. I remember when I was your age, I was living in Redondo Beach. I had moved out there with some friends and buddies, and we were at a tavern, Hennessy's Tavern, Redondo Beach. If you want to look it up, there it is. And the conversation at the table was, what's the meaning of life? And I honestly, without joking, I honestly said, well, when you figure it out, please tell me, because I don't have a clue. The meaning of life. I really didn't have an understanding of the meaning of life. I was basically pretty clueless. I love Scripture. I am so in love with Scripture. It's amazing. I love Jesus in the Eucharist, and his presence is phenomenal. But his presence in the Word is a different presence. His Word speaks to me with words. Okay? Anyway, I'm going to share with you this Scripture, John 12:24-26. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor." That's phenomenal. I had a conversion in 1992 through some circumstances that, believe it or not, had a lot to do with public speaking. Crazy, here I am, public speaking. Because I was very fearful of public speaking. Because I was very self-conscious. It was all about me. So that brought me to my knees. I started praying. I grabbed onto the only prayer I really kind of knew was through my mother's example of the rosary. So I picked up the rosary and I started praying the rosary. And pretty amazing stuff started happening. Like, it was really amazing. So I started my spiritual journey at that point, even though I was a Catholic, Sunday-going Catholic, I was pretty faithful in that. This ramped things up, and I started going to confession regularly. I started going to daily mass as much as I could while still working, and that was part of my trend, my walk towards becoming a Catholic core. But I never. Let me say this. About 28 years ago, I was in the local mountains in Southern California at a ski resort with my brother. We were doing some night skiing. And in the lodge, this woman came up to me. She was looking a little weird, but it's like most people do anyway. It was just one of those things. She came up to me and she said, "One day you're going to know who you are." And I thought she was crazy because I thought I knew who I was. But I remembered that conversation 2.5 years ago as clear as a bell because it was true. That was like a prophetic word on my life 28 years ago that one day I would know who I was. Because even though I had joined this apostolate as a Catholic core and I'm living, trying, poverty, chastity, and obedience, Daily Mass was the rule. Daily Rosary was the rule. Eucharistic Holy Hour every day, the rule. So you had all these rules. But yet, my life was not, it wasn't living life to the full. I was struggling. I was struggling with what's the point? And when you struggle with life, you tend to look for compensations. Because you want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. And so in the natural, trying to be happy sometimes includes going outside of God's will. And so you end up compromising your poverty, chastity, and obedience in certain ways. And we're not talking big things here. But it's enough. It's like a little bug that's gnawing away at the root of the tree. And I was getting to a point where I was feeling very frustrated, and I was ready to give up. And I was ready to walk, thinking, this isn't for me, because I'm not finding my joy here. So I have this, I'm really struggling with this temptation to leave. So at Mass, one of the volunteers I just shared with you, it was during the summer, it was the beginning of summer, one of the kids was volunteering, and he was in front of me at Mass. And after Mass, he turned around and looked at me and says, "Jack, I don't know what this means, but God wanted me to tell you this." Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had God speak to them or speak to somebody you know with a message. I didn't know that that was even possible, except for the saints, and we read about those in the old days. And so I'm like, okay, what did he tell you? So he said, God wants you to find your joy in him. And I knew what he meant, because I was trying to find my joy outside of him. And what I understood him to say is, I understood him to say, Jack, knock it off. Get real. Knock it off right now. It's like, and I did not accept that word very well. I was frustrated with that word. I was confused by that word because I didn't know what it meant to find my joy in him. I had no clue. I didn't know it was possible. I thought we'd just suffer through this life as best we can and then get into heaven. Now I understand that heaven wants to get into us now. So I'm struggling with this, and I've been called out on the carpet. I'm frustrated. I'm just confused. I was in my office, and I was watching some YouTube videos, and I've always liked the YouTube videos that had something to do with possession. We're talking about people who are possessed by the devil. And I've needed to use those things, and I would read accounts about those things because it helped me to stay on the straight and narrow. It's something that's very tangible, it's very real. It's like, oh yes, the spiritual life is that intense. You know, we gotta stay on, you know, I used it as kind of a crutch. So I was watching some of those and it was like, oh, okay, man, nah, nah, nah. And then there was a related video, or you know, the side videos, you know, they're there, and there was one there called Street Preacher Healing in the Streets of New York or something like that. And I said, well, I'll watch this because it's probably one of those Protestants and we know it's not true. People don't get healed and I'll just be able to make fun of this. I honestly thought I would just poke fun at it. So I watched it and there was a grace for me. Well, it wasn't a grace. It was honest. It was like I saw a guy who went through a tremendous conversion himself. He was an atheist, drug addict for 20 plus years, kicked out of the house when he was a kid. He was just a big, hot mess. God touched him in a very radical way, and in a drug deal that went bad, he got shot at 9 times at very close range and did not get hit. He drove off and he heard a voice say, I took those bullets for you, when are you going to live for me? That started him on a radical journey of being totally his. So he gave his life to Christ in a very radical way and lives, even to this day, a very radical lifestyle of Christianity. He God. So he's walking around the streets of New York, and he's literally healing people with stuff. I started watching more of his videos, and I was impressed with him for a couple of reasons. One of them was he'd never been to seminary. This is a guy who just had the Bible, and everything he was learning was learned from the Bible. He had a reading problem, ADHD and all the rest, but God healed him of that, and he was able to read the Bible. And so he just grew up just reading the Word. And so he's preaching from just the Word, not tainted with any of that other stuff. He's not anti-Catholic. I picked that up right away. He said something like this. He goes, you know, Mary was pregnant with Christ before she was pregnant with Christ, and she was pregnant with Christ even after she gave birth to Christ. I'm like, wow, I don't think very many Catholics even know that. That was a very good insight. You know, he's off on a few things. But overall, I was impressed. And he taught me a few things. He taught me about righteousness. He taught me about what it really meant to be a son of God. He taught me about what it really meant to be baptized and born again. So that night, I go home. We have this little house, and there's a chapel in that house, and the tabernacle, and Jesus is like, you know, 2-3 feet away from my nose, and I'm kneeling there. Okay, so all of this is happening to me. I'm frustrated about my life. I want to quit. I want to leave. He calls me out on the carpet and says that I got to find my joy in him. I watch TV, and there's this guy who's like living a very vibrant life, on fire. He's got totally everything going for him. God's blessing this guy. And look at me. I'm just a hot mess. And I said, Jesus, I don't get it. What's up? Why are you blessing him and not me? And Jesus said, do you want it? I didn't know that it was something for me to ask for. I didn't know. I thought I was entitled to it because I'm living poverty, chastity, and obedience. I'm going to Mass every day. I'm praying the rosary every day. I'm doing all these things. I realize now what I was doing was I was living the second son syndrome, I call it. The prodigal son is the one who went off and squandered his wealth with loose living and comes back home, and the father embraces him back and says, son, welcome back. He never lost his sonship. He came back thinking, well, just treat me like a slave. But the father says, no, you're a son. You will always be a son. Exactly how our father treats us. You will always be a son. You will always be a daughter. The worst thing we can do is ignore that fact and walk away. But now here's the challenge, though. I slipped into the second son syndrome because, Father, I never disobeyed anything you told me to do. That was the life I was living. Because I was living a life as if I was trying to earn his love. You can't earn your father's love. That's ridiculous. The second son said, Father, you wouldn't even give me a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. And the father says, Son, everything I have is yours. Come, rejoice. Your brother was lost, and now he's found. You see, the father knew, I think, the father wouldn't give him the kid goat because he tried to earn the kid goat. And the father loves him too much, so no, I'm not going to give the kid goat because you think you're earning my love. You have all the goats. Take one. But he wanted to prove his love. So that's where I found myself. And so this guy, by the way, the guy's name is Todd White. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Todd White. Okay. Yeah, Annie. Anyway. And I recently went to see him a couple months ago, and so that was like, check it off my bucket list because he was instrumental in what you see today. Okay. And I used to be very prejudiced against, you know, Protestants, because, well, they don't have the fullness of the faith. See how pride works? It's like ridiculous. Now I understand that they are my brothers and sisters, and they don't have the fullness of the faith, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. They're my brothers and sisters, and I can learn from them, and I have learned from them dearly. I think there's something that's happened within the Catholic Church where we've become afraid of relationship, personal relationship with Jesus, because we don't want to become Protestant. And they're afraid of doctrine because they don't want to be Catholic. You see how the devil's working? I know, it's both. It's both. It's we go to church, we learn the faith so that we can have relationship with him. So, after Jesus said, look, do you want it? I had to make a decision at that point. I had to make a radical decision. I knew I needed to make a radical decision because if I didn't go radical on this, it's all for naught. I said, Jesus, I want you to come out of that tabernacle and kill me. I want you to be the son of David, the David the warrior, and I want you to slay this edifice, this guy, this Jack, who has built up this yuck. It was built on sand anyways. I just said, Jesus, I need you to come and kill that guy, and now, after you're done killing him, I want you to possess him. Because I saw all those videos on possession, I know that people can be possessed by the devil, and, well, that's really bad, but why don't we just get possessed by Christ? So why doesn't the Spirit of Christ come in me and fully possess me? I did that, which amounted to repenting of my sin and asking Jesus into my heart as personal Lord and Savior of all things. It's kind of ironic because I was so against that. And that's, in fact, basically what I did. Then I renewed my mind. There was a beautiful Franciscan priest that I know who ingrained in me the concept of training your mind with a truth to believe something by repeating it over and over again. So I learned, and believe it or not, this is very Catholic too, that at our baptism, the Heavenly Father says those same words that he spoke over Jesus. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Our righteousness is there. We are restored. We use the word justified. But righteousness, I like that word. We're made right. Perfectly pleasing in his sight. Right at then. So I repeated those words to my mind. I said, Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that I am your precious son in whom you are well pleased. And I repeated those words 100 times a day. All day long, just kept repeating them, speaking truth to my mind. Because I had believed a lie that the devil had been planted in my head, because that's all the devil can do. All the devil can do is plant lies in your head. The war is between the ears for your minds, for your identity, for who you think you are. And if he can speak lies to you, you'll start thinking like he does. And once you start thinking like he does, then he's got you. But we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ and have our thoughts on heaven. So though I call that the walls of Jericho. You circle the walls of Jericho with truth, and those walls will come down. And I started to believe that I really was a son of God. I believe that with all my heart. And somebody asked me, a very good Catholic asked me, because he heard my talk, and he said, Jack, do you really believe you're a son of God? That was a good question. Never thought about it. You know what? If I don't believe I'm a son of God, that means I must believe something else. And if I'm going to believe something else, then that wouldn't be the truth. That would be a lie. No, I'm a son of God. Because if I believe that I'm something other than a son of God, in whom he's well pleased, then I'm listening to the devil, believing an identity that he's trying to put into me, which is not true. So as I'm progressing in this, God is doing some amazing things to me, like waking me up really early in the morning. We're like 3:30, 4 in the morning. And these are busy days. But his presence was so strong on me that it was like, okay, I'm going to get up. Because it's as if he's saying, Jack, I want to spend time with you. I love you so much. Come. And we just hang out. And he just wants to be with me. Like, he's all excited. I go, Lord, you know, I think there's two things you really don't care about, and that is sleep and food. And he's like, yep, I really don't care about those things. Because I'm your food. I'm your rest. I've had more amazing spirit-filled days when I've had lousy nights of sleep. It's almost like if I get a lousy night of sleep, I'm like, great, it's going to be an awesome day. I'm actually looking forward to it. It's when I'm well rested, I go, oh, it's just going to be an okay day. You know, it's crazy. So his presence on me was so phenomenal in these weeks and maybe a month into this new revelation of who I was, because I renewed the mind. I'm a son of God. I have purpose. I have destiny. And I started really getting excited about the healing ministry. I started praying for people and starting to see some things happen. And I was like, wow, this is real. You're kidding me. Wow. And so his presence was so phenomenal. One day, all I had to do was really, honestly, just think of God, and like something inside my chest would just start moving. Like, he's really there. And he's like telling me, I'm really there. It's like, he really wants to dwell here. So one night, I got really gutsy or adventurous, I don't know what you call it, and I said, Lord, boy, I just want more. I just want pure faith. I just want to go big. I just go big. Okay, Lord, just go big. And so I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and guess what? It's as if all of that never happened. It was the Sahara Desert, spiritual desert experience, and it was horrible. Because I've tasted the Lord's goodness so much, it was so rich, it was so phenomenal. I said, why doesn't everybody do this? That morning, I was like, oh my goodness, where did it go? Where is his love? And I'm like, what did I do? Did something I do wrong? He was like, he was really helping me. Because if I'm going to have a relationship with him because of my feelings, I'm just going to live very sensually. I'm going to have a relationship with him through truth, because I know he loves me. I know that he's all about me. And when I start to speak that truth, when I start to enter into that reality, the feelings come. And sometimes they don't. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You're strengthening my spiritual muscles when you don't allow your presence to be felt in me. And I'm cool with that. I don't like it, but I'm cool with it, because I really enjoy your presence. I really enjoy the warm fuzzies. And honestly, I don't think there's been a day in 2 years. Into us, crying out, Abba, Father. So he helps us. That's how that works. And even though there's 7 billion of us on planet Earth or something like that, he has the ability to love each of us individually as if you were his favorite. I was talking to somebody who was one of 12 children, and she said that after her mother had passed away, actually, this is the foundress of our order, the organization, that she got together with her siblings, and they all sort of revealed to each other that they all thought that they were her favorite. Her mom did a wonderful job of treating each one as if they were her favorite. She didn't say that, because that would have been a lie, but she treated each one as if they were her favorite. The Heavenly Father has the ability to do the exact same thing, but in spades. Because from your perspective, you are his favorite. I started really diving into that and realizing how important that is for me. Because if the more I grow in the reality of my preciousness in his sight, that I am accepted by him, the less I'm going to be tempted to find my acceptedness in anybody else. It frees me from trying to perform well in the eyes of others. It frees me from the need of other people's love. Before, I would say, wow, I love you. Do you love me? Now, I just love you. Because I've become love. Because he's already satisfied the inner longings, the deepest longings of my heart. So now I'm freely to love. I can freely love. I become an outflow of love. Rivers of love, rivers of grace, outflow. Before, my Christian walk was a lake mentality. So it was all about me. Getting my stuff fixed, getting my prayers answered, getting me. That's from the fall. That's the old Adam. That's the carnal mind speaking. We're here to be a blessing for others. So now it's like, Father, bless me so I can bless others. You know, I have an image on my cell phone, and well, I'll show it to you, but it's kind of hard. It's Jesus, probably, maybe 2 years old, maybe less. And he's like peering out the door of a tabernacle, and it's real cute. It's a beautiful little face on him, and I've got that on my phone. And one night, as I'm growing in my identity as a son of God and trying to really grasp that, I was just had it on my dresser, and I'm looking at it going, wow, Jesus, you know, what was it like? What was it like for you to walk the earth as a son of God? Knowing that you're a son of God, what was it like? And he said to me, I don't know, what's it like for you? There's a lot of similarities. I mean, I know he's Lord and all that, but he's like handed the baton off and said, no, things I do, you will do, and even greater things you will do. This is something else I've started. The sinner mentality, the sinner identity. I'm a son, but I'm not perfect, so I sin. Okay, that's reality. But those sins that I, the stuff that I do, the stumbles that I have, are opportunities for me to grow in humility, but also grow in grace, and to rise above that. So it actually works to my benefit. But I don't call myself a sinner. If I was Pope, this is what I would do. I would add a couple words to the Hail Mary. Goes, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. I would just add, pray for us sinners, sons, and daughters, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Because that's really a more complete assessment of who we really are. We're sons and daughters. Yes, we sin. We fail. But that's okay. So this righteousness and baptism, I'm just going to talk about that just a little bit. We have some time. So we know Jesus said, or the Father opened the heavens at Jesus' baptism and says, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Death reigned, this is Romans 5:17. Death reigned through Adam's sin, but much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Righteousness is something that I really hone in on, that I have righteousness. I've been made right. As long as I've let go of sin and stepped into who I really am and everything that Jesus paid the price for. God has an attribute called immutable. He's immutable. That means he can't change his mind. Doesn't mean he's restricted. It's just that he doesn't need to because he's God. He can foresee everything. Ephesians 1, Paul tells us that before the foundation of the world, God knew us to be holy, blameless, and perfect, destined to be sons and daughters. That's God's original plan. And since he already thought of us, we already pre-existed in his mind. So he had the perfect thought of who we were, but there was a time for us to be born in the future. A time. There's a time for us to be born. Adam and Eve, our first parents, failed. They had dominion over the earth. And they were the king and queen. They had everything. And so the devil came and stole that from them, and they gave it all to the devil. They shipwrecked the whole created order. And so now we're in a state of temporalness. So God's love didn't change for Adam and Eve. He still held on. He still knew. He still said, look, I'm going to fix this. He's going to send his son. So the Father sent his son, the Word, to become man and pay the price for our redemption. So while we were still enemies of God, he reconciled us to God by the death of his Son. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Have you ever seen The Passion of the Christ? A lot of people have seen that one. Pretty brutal, right? I'll bet it was worse. It says in Isaiah 52 that he was marred beyond recognition. Jesus, the Son of God, marred beyond recognition. You ever wondered why it had to be so brutal? Why couldn't they just kill him? Why did it have to be so brutal? I believe it had to be so brutal because when Jesus lost his recognition, he lost his recognition so that we can gain our recognition. Because when sin got done with us in the garden, we didn't look anything like we used to. Jesus came to pay the price and took all that on himself and killed it on a tree so that we can be set free. Why is it we struggle so much in this life? It's because we keep thinking with our fallen human nature. We keep thinking with our carnal mind. It's the carnal mind that messes us up. It's the mind of Christ that we're supposed to have. So, Jesus, I want to get back to this incredible passion of Christ. You know, when it's as if the Father sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. The Father sent the Son to die for us. Why? Even though yet we were still sinners. It's because he had the first original thought of us. He couldn't live without us. If he had your resume on his desk, he would see your creative value. He would crucify his Son to get you back. That's how important you are. See, we don't understand our worth. We're worth the blood of Christ. You are worth every precious drop of the blood of Christ. That is your worth. And your Father is so crazy in love with you, he was willing to do that. He's actually done everything possible. It's as if he's looking at you, telling the executioners to beat him. He's like saying, I love you so much, hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again. This is how important you are to him. He needed to free us. He needed us back home. And that's not something we shoot for in the distance. We don't like get through this life and die and then get to heaven. No, heaven comes into us now if we're willing to accept that, if we're willing to step into this, if we're willing to believe in the plan of salvation that he has for us so that we can become dynamic Christians. It's like Jesus, I would hope that there'd be a movie that would do a very good job of this, because Jesus, after he ascended into heaven, okay, the passion is done, the resurrection, he ascends into heaven, and you can imagine that all of the devils were slammed. This was a massive blow to them. They just, like, what just happened? Jesus just took their dominion back. They had ownership, remember? Adam and Eve handed it over to them, said, it's all yours. Jesus took it back. But they're gathering together going, okay, we tried to get the Son of God, but we're going to go get the images of God. We're going to go after them. So they started to regroup. I imagine them trying to regroup. And then Jesus, from the Father, at Pentecost, sent his Spirit into the disciples and apostles. Basically, what he did is he replicated himself. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. The original assignment, to be fruitful and multiply, is back. But now it's in the spiritual realm. It's not in the carnal realm. Anybody can give birth to a child. Any brute can do that. But only sons of God can reproduce sons. That's what we're called to do. We're still called to be fruitful and multiply. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. You're called to be fruitful and multiply his image, because you're made in his image. You've been restored. You are a son. You are a precious daughter. And you have an assignment to go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse a leper, and drive out demons. That's the assignment. But you're not going to know that until you accept your own preciousness. You don't understand who you are. Once you understand who you are, you go, okay, now I know who I am. Now I know what to do. There's a lot of people in here. There's a lot of people going to church who are fans of God. Okay, it's true. They're singing the songs, they're waving the flags, and they're fans. They're fans of God. They're God fans. That's not saying that's all bad. But there's so much more. We need to be people who are in love with God. We need to step it up. We need to step into this relationship that He has not put any limits on. The happiest people on planet Earth are the people who are in love. Okay? Especially at that first moment of falling in love. You ever done it before?
I have, a couple times.
But that's a natural happiness. Okay? But this truth, this grace imitates nature. You're only truly happy when you're truly in love. Not truly happy because you go to church. Now, the reason why we go to church is so that we become more in love. And the reason why we go to church, the reason why we go to Mass is not to have our stuff fixed. It's to become more like Him. It's to become transformed. Jesus never promised us to have our stuff fixed. He never promised us that we would have an easy day. He did promise us everything necessary to become like Him. Possession. To be possessed by Christ is the ultimate. Well, that's what Christian means. Christian. It's being another Christ. It's allowing His Spirit to completely control you and possess you. You seen that movie Inside Out? It's kind of cute, you know, with all those personalities. Well, I just apply that to myself and say, wow, Jesus, you come in there and you control the board. All those emotions. I want you to be the reigning person over all those emotions. There is a healthy fear. There is healthy anger. There's healthy sorrow. There's healthy joy. All of that. It has to be Christ. We have to put on the mind of Christ and have His personality flow through it. He doesn't damage your personality, by the way. He elevates it. Because from the beginning of time, God had your personality down. It's beautiful. It's perfect. He loves it. He just needs it to be cleansed. It needs to be purified. So this intimacy is an amazing thing. I think I'll end with this. Imagine if I was like a really rich, suave bachelor who also wrote songs and did some philanthropy and, you know, it was very generous. It's just like, wow, this guy's amazing. Really good looking, you know, so you can really imagine that. And so, say you were like, you know, a real fan, because it's easy to do that. You would have one of my popular songs on your phone as your ringtone and all this, and you'd have maybe posters in your room of me and all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of Christians are like that with Jesus, you know, and I was like that too. But there's quite a bit of difference between being a fan and being in love, in relationship. And this doesn't diminish your ability to be in love and in relationship with others. It elevates it. Let's face the facts. Everybody loves Jesus. I mean, there's a God thing. The more you're like Jesus, it elevates all of your relationships. If you're living a life like I was so many times outside of Jesus, then it's all about me. And I might be funny, I might be cute, I might be this, but it's just me. And that just only goes so far. And that's kind of boring. And in the end, it never really makes anybody happy. And too many people are getting married with that mindset. They're getting married thinking that, look, I'm going to find my fulfillment, my happiness in my spouse. Oh, you're in for a big surprise. You will not find your happiness and your fulfillment outside His happiness and fulfillment for you. When you become fulfilled and happy through Him, you'll be able to be happiness to your spouse. That's a great marriage. That's how it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be an outflow of God's love for each other. That selfishness, it creeps in because that's who we were born into. This is like how we remember just from day one. But we're meant to be born again. We have to step out of the old and into the new. There's some great quotes. If you're not into Scripture, please get into Scripture. Romans 8. Oh, I love Romans. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's laws, nor can it. The carnal mind. I have a great image of the carnal mind. It can't please God. But I have to control this carnal mind with my spirit mind. So what do? I train my carnal mind. That's why I fast once in a while. That's why I decide not to do this. There are times where it's licit. It's like, okay, I'll have a beer today. No, I have two. Okay, I'll enjoy the fruits of, you know, my Father's love for me. But if I start to overindulge in that, that's the carnal mind stepping in saying, no, more. I say, no, you shut up. That's what I tell it. You know, it's like I'm hungry sometimes. I say, shut up. I'm in charge. See? Who's in charge of this house? I have dominion over this thing. If I let him have control, if I let the madman have control over this house, it's a mess. It's a mess because I did that most of my life. It's just a mess. It doesn't produce anything. It's a rough road. What you're going to end up doing is having a very, you're going to struggle through your Christian walk. You're going to be strapped into the struggle bus. Your freedom is there for you in Christ to step out of the old and into the new. But that won't happen unless you understand how precious and loved you are. How precious and loved you are. So if you understood how precious and loved you are, you'll be able to trust that he's going to take care of you, and you're going to go, okay, I'm all yours. I'm done. And just yield yourself to him and give your heart to him and say, whatever, from here on out, it's all yours. I've learned so much in my own personal prayer, in going into my room, closing my door, getting alone with him, and getting real with him. Felt really weird the first time, but I kind of wanted to do something radical, because that's kind of where I'm at. I'm really going after this with all I got. So I started praying verbally in my room, just saying, Father God, I just thank you. I know you think I'm precious. Father, I just believe that you have blessings for me. Father, I believe you're so in love with me that you sent your son to die on the cross to get me back. Father, I am yours. Thank you, Jesus. Come and dwell in this heart. This heart of mine, this soul of mine is yours. So I start speaking those truths. So what ends up happening, since I'm speaking those truths, I'm in agreement with what he says about me. There's grace upon that. And he shows up. You see, if I'm holding on to a lie about who I am and calling that the Christian walk, how could God bless me? It'd be like him saying, it's like him approving of that. You know, it's like, no, he can't bless me if I'm going to hold on to this. Because it would be him approving of me holding on to that. No, it all has to go. You have to be all in. You have to go all the way. In high school, when you went all the way, it meant something else, okay? That was like, did you go all the way? I like to Christianize that. I like to apply that, go all the way with Jesus. Go all the way with God. Did you go all the way? Or are you still holding back? Now, I know it's a process. If you're not ready, pray for the grace. Say, Jesus, there was this crazy guy named Jack who gave a talk, and he's really excited about you, and I'm not quite sure what he said, but I think I want what he has. could you help me? Could you help me get that? Because I want to be happy too. I want to have fulfillment in this life. I want to have purpose. I want to have a destiny. I want to leave a legacy. I want to know what it's like. Is this real? That kind of prayer, he loves those kind of prayers. It's real. It's from the heart. If you are ready, do it. Just abandon yourself. Just say, I'm yours. Just do this thing. Just do this thing. Because you won't be disappointed. He has amazing plans for everybody in this room. It's phenomenal plans. Just in this room, if everybody in this room was to catch this and go all the way, we could change the world rather quickly. It's His grace and our yes. Our Lady's yes was so perfect and so amazing that the Son of God became man in her belly, her womb. Okay, that's pretty radical. Our yes, I say this every day, I give a yes so that God's grace will manifest in the world, that the Word becomes flesh. Grace comes through us. Mary is a perfect model for this. She's the imitator. Her immaculate heart will triumph in the imitation of this. Because she did everything as a human being. Yes, she was immaculate, but that was only because of the foreseen merits of Christ applied to her. Well, we're over on this end. Guess what? You've been baptized. You're a new creation. Yeah, I know you have the fallen nature you're dealing with, but that's okay. It's to your benefit. But everything is there. Everything is possible. God can't do any more. He's just waiting for your yes. And with your yes, you could change the world, and you'll be the happiest person on planet Earth. Absolutely, I guarantee it. If you want some intercessory prayer, if you want to talk with me some more about all this, again, my business card, or when you have a business card, my card is out there on the table. Or you can hang around maybe later and whatnot. Annie knows, you know, if you want to just bump into her and say, hey, I want to talk to Jack. No problem. You know, we can get together and make a phone call. I'm only 2 hours away. It'd be totally okay for me to come here. I'm going to start getting more involved in campus ministry. So something that the apostle is moving towards. And they said, yeah, this is the kind of things that start happening. You know, it's like your whole life starts changing. It's like, I'm the IT guy, by the way. I'm not this. I'm just a regular guy. I'm the IT guy. But I'm on fire for him because he's in me and he wants out. And so they're like, you know, the administration goes, wow, okay, you got to go out. I said, yeah, I do. So anyways, it's a pleasure for me to talk one-on-one with people. I do group things. This isn't really the best for me. I'm much better just one-on-one. But God puts me where I feel most uncomfortable, and that's cool because he promised me the comforter because he knew I was going to be uncomfortable. All right, so I could just go on forever. I won't go on much longer. I think we've already exhausted all the time possible, right? Yes, right on the nose. So, yeah, any questions? Yeah, this is what usually happens. It's like, there's just a lot to understand and process. It's like, wow, that was a lot. It's crazy. We're going to watch a video now. I see everybody's head move that way. So thank you for your time. I appreciate everything.